Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. Abba Yah, thank you once again for giving us the breath of life. Thank you for allowing us to see another year, Father. Thank you for leading us and guiding us through another trying year, Father, just to bring us through once again, Father. Thank you for this time that you set apart for us, Father. Thank you for all the things that you have in store for us this year, Father. All the trials, the tribulations, all the good times and the bad times, Father. Thank you for growing us and continue to grow us. Thank you for bringing us a little bit closer to you, Father. Step by step, inch by inch, Father. Thank you for continuing us to groom us in the image of your Son, Yahushua HaMashiach, our Savior, our Redeemer, our soon-coming King, Father. We ask, Father, that you strengthen us when we are weak, that you continue to give us warning, Father, when we're heading to the right and to the left, Father, and that we heed your warnings, Father. You never leave us. You never led us astray, Father. But sometimes we get hard-headed, Father. Continue to shape our hearts and shape our minds to be usable for you, Father. To just continue to grow your sons and your daughters, Yisrael. Father, we ask that you continue to bless us, continue to keep us, Father. Continue to keep your face shining towards us. In Yahushua's name, we give you praise, thanks, glory, and honor, Father. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Blessed are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with their words that were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who chooses the Torah, Moshe his servant, Yisrael his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen.
Amen.
Everybody can sit down. I will be seated. Kol Shavah, Yisrael. Can somebody shoot a text just to let us know? We good? Okay. Never mind. All right. Shabbat shalom, family.
Hello.
Everyone feeling good today?
Yes.
My brother gave the big yes. So, before we get started, Yahweh revealed something to me. And it was about a dream I had. Now, in no way, shape, or form does it negate anything that was said before. But this is something that he revealed to me, you know, because he's so efficient with things that one dream can be for a nation, a person, and it has multiple uses. You know, and so when he revealed this, the meaning of this dream to me, it was for me. And I'm going to share it with y'all, what he revealed to me. So this is a dream that I already shared with y'all. It's about the me and Brother Shabbael were in a car, and we were driving. And it seemed like everybody was moving quicker than us when we was on this path. And as we were driving, I was driving, Shabbat was beside me. And as I was driving, a car went really fast past us. And it went fast, went so fast past us that it actually shook our car. That's how fast it went. Well, as that car went past us, it threw a dead body on our car, on the right-hand side, on the driver's side, in front of me. So it was a body bag. And so I stopped and I got out the car and I unzipped the body bag. And it was a dead white woman within this body bag. So when I turned around, Shabbat and the car was gone and I was on this highway. So I got scared and I went to hide because I felt as though somebody was coming back to get me. And it was these stairs that was going down. But I didn't go down the stairs, but I just hid, and then I woke up. So what Yahweh showed me is that me and Shabbat was on a path. I'm on this path with an oath, with the oath of Yahweh, because that's what Shabbat's name means. And as long as me and the oath was together, everything was good. It didn't matter that all these cars were moving quicker and faster. Everything was good because I had this oath with me. But then I got distracted by a dead woman. And to be honest, that's what Abba was showing me, that it was going to be women that was going to distract me. So when I went to check this woman, who was dead, and it was a dead thing. That's what something else he's letting me know. Don't even be bothered with it.
Amen.
It's a dead thing. Don't worry about it. Stay with the oath. But because I went to check the woman, the oath was gone.
Amen.
Eyes off of Yahweh. I didn't keep on that path. So now the oath is gone, and I get scared. Right? So I went to hide. I didn't go down the steps, which would mean going backwards, but I didn't go forward either. So now I have a choice to make, and that's what Abba is telling me. That's what that dream meant to me. All right?
Amen.
So pray for my strength.
Amen.
Because I don't want a distraction to take me off of here. All right? So, and that goes for everybody. You know, pray for everybody. We don't want no distractions to distract us from the oath that we took. We took that oath. We said, Father, we're going to walk this way with you. We took it. All right? So don't let anything distract us, because that was his warning to us. That was his warning to me. So I have to let these things know, because that's one of the things, and we're going to talk about this a little bit later. One of the commandments, and that's something that I was making me realize. One of his commandments is to confess things to one another. Talk about it. Get it out in the open, because you never know what Abba's going to put on somebody else's heart to take care of it. We are each one's keeper. We are the guards for one another. You know, we're each other's guardians. But that's something Abba put on, revealed to me. And it coincides with everything else. Like I said, don't deter from nothing that anything else was said, because everything else was true too. But it was just his warning for me.
Amen.
You know, to take care, mind yourself, you know. So with that being said, we can get on what we was talking about. All right. Today we're going to be talking about the relationship. How do we show our love for the Most High? That's basically what we was talking about. So that's basically what we're going to be talking about for the next couple weeks. All right. Now, something that I wrote down. It says, people say they love Yahweh, they love God, and that's a noble idea. But how do we know this? How can we prove our love for the Most High? Our love for the Most High is only as much as we love as our love for our brothers and sisters, right? In 1 John chapter 4, 20, verses 20 and 21, it says, if a man say, I love Yah, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love Yah whom he has not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth Yah loveth his brother also. So this is how we prove that we have love for the Most High, by the way we interact with our brothers and our sisters. You know, if we are interacting with one another in a harsh manner, in a cruel manner, you might as well say that you're interacting with the Most High in a harsh manner, in a cruel manner. Because when you don't show love for this person, this being who is right in front of you, he said you can't love the thing that you can't see. Why? You have knowledge of this being that's right in front of you. You have more of an interaction with I have more of an interaction with Yaka'el, with Mara'el, Yara'el, Malka, Eliora, Samaria, everybody in this room than we have with Yah. Why? Because we right here. I can see the expression on your face. I can't see the expression on Yah's face. I know when there's a distance between one another. We don't know that when there's a distance between one another with Yah's face, with Yah, because we're physical. We're like. God's completely different from us. And so our interactions with one another show forth the interactions with the Most High. If we're harsh with one another, how you think the Most High is going to deal with us? If we are merciful with one another, how you think the Most High is going to deal with us? One of the things that Yahushua said, in the book of John, chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. John 13:34. It's Yahushua talking. He says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So the love we have one another shows forth our disciplehood for Yahushua.
Amen.
Right? So when there was issues between the disciples at times, because they didn't get along all the time, you know, but Yahushua squashed those things, and you had to show love for one another. It was a time when two of the brothers said, hey, let me be at the right hand, let my brother be at the left hand. How do you think the other disciples felt?
Amen.
You know, hearing these things. When the whole thing came up about it ended up being Judas. But he said, no, there's a betrayer amongst y'all. One of y'all is going to betray me. Everybody was like, whoa, who? Is it me, Father? Is it me? That caused a little thing there. But after that, okay, love still has to be shown. Issues come about between us. After we resolve the issue, love has to be shown. We have to just keep it moving. All right? Because if we don't keep it moving, how do you think Yahweh is going to deal with us? Okay, you messed up. Now I can't show you no problem. You done messed up. I'm through with you now. Go step on about your business. We don't want the Most High to deal with us in that manner. So because we don't want him to deal with us in that manner, we can't deal with one another in that manner. You know? So, any questions or comments so far about anything? All right. So now we're going to look at the book of Ruth. Because this is, we have been through it already, but this is a prime example of how a person, their love for the Most High, and actually won a soul. You know? And we're going to start at Ruth chapter 1. You know? When I read through this, it shows the wisdom of a woman. Of an older woman. This is where I think it was Peter or Paul, one of the two, wrote how older women should instruct the younger women in the ways of the Most High, so they'll know these things. Because that's what you see. That's basically what this story is about. A lot of people focus on the whole point of getting with Boaz and this, that, and another. But if Naomi didn't show Ruth how to do it, it wouldn't have happened. You know, you have a woman who was devout within Yisrael, and she showed this woman who was outside of Yisrael the ways of the Most High and won a soul. All right? So, Ruth chapter 1, verse 1, it says, now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came to the country of Moab and continued there. Technology. Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took wives of the women of Moab. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died, also both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. So now, at this point, Ruth going through it. Husband did. Both her kids did. She ain't got no grandbabies. So that's all she has is her two daughter-in-laws. How you think she's feeling right now? And we're going to see how she's feeling a little bit later on. He says, verse 6, then she arose with her daughter-in-laws, and she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that Yahweh had visited his people and given them bread. Wherefore, she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-laws with her. And they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her daughters-in-laws, go, return each to her mother's house. Yahweh deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. Yahweh grant you that you may find rest, each of you in the house of your husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Will you go with me, as there are yet more sons in my wombs, that you may have husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say, I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight and also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they grown up? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieves me too much for the sake of the hands of Yahweh is gone out against me. So two daughter-in-laws want to stay with her, and Naomi giving them every excuse to go back. Look, go back to your country, find you some husbands. No, we're going to go with you, mama-in-law. No. Look, let's say I'm too old to find a husband. Let's say I find a husband and I get pregnant tonight and have kids. You going to stick around for these kids to grow up? No, go ahead back. So she's hitting them with every excuse. Why? She's right now, she says, the hand of Yahweh is against me. I don't want y'all to be around this. I really don't want to be around nobody right now. Think of how she is in her state of mind, she said. Right? Said verse 14. And they lifted up their voice and they wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave on to her. So there you go. A difference in the two. Orpah was like, okay, I'm going to go back. Ruth said, don't make a difference. Both of them saw the love that Naomi showed her husband and her sons for 10 years. They was in Moab for 10 years. So they got to experience some of Naomi's love. They got to experience the ways of Yahweh for a little bit, right? And she said, verse 15, and she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. Forever where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thou, mighty one, my mighty one. That got Yahweh's attention. It's not for any reason, not just because Naomi was a nice person or whatever, but she actually experienced some of the ways of Yahweh. And she saw that. So that intrigued her. Orpah did too, but she was like, well, I desire a husband. Let me go back here. Naomi said, I desire to be with you. So wherever you're going, I'm going to be with your people. Your people are going to be my people. Your God is going to be my God. Your customs are going to be my customs. I'm taking on everything that belongs to you. Why? What kind of example was Naomi to Ruth? How did Ruth see Naomi? Did she see her as this God-fearing woman that was a strong woman? Because we can show off these things, and it draws people to us when we're doing what the Most High says. Right? He says, verse 17, where thou diest, will I die, and where will I be buried? And there will I be buried. Yahweh do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt bitterly with me. And I went out full, and Yahweh hath brought me home again empty. Why then call me Naomi, seeing Yahweh has testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So we see her state of mind. I went out. I had a husband. I had kids. I went out full, but I'm coming back empty. All I have is my daughter-in-laws. But through all that, she still served Yahweh. She was still a good example to the Most High. Good example for the Most High, excuse me. That so much that it attracted Ruth. Point where she says, I want to serve Yahweh. Your God's going to be my God. Your people are going to be my people. Right? Verse 22. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of her country of Moab, and then came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Chapter 2. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hat was too light on the part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, Yahweh be with you. And they answered him, Yahweh bless thee. So she just happens on the field that belongs to one of her kinsmen. You think Abba didn't lead her to this particular field, you know, that belonged to her kinsmen? Then you just happen to have Boaz coming in, and he's blessing the reapers, blessing the people that work for him, which is a blessing I find great. That shows the type of man he was, you know, where your employee walks in and he's going to bless you. You know, Yahweh be with you. Yahweh strengthen you. And he's saying this to his employees, you know, the people that's working for him. Bless them. You know, you don't find that too much nowadays where an owner comes into a building and blesses his employees. You know, you working for me, getting you money and this, that, and another. But that shows the kind of character he had. Right? He says, verse 5. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over his reapers, who damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitess damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and have continued even from the morning until now, and she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here with my maidens. Let thy eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them, the young men, that they shall not touch thee. And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young man hath drawn. So he's saying, I got you. You know, Yahweh led this woman to a man that's going to take care of him, you know, all because she decided to seek after him. So things are starting to look up for her. You know, she was in a spot where now favor is starting to get shown to her, right? Verse 10. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thy eyes that thou should have taken knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, fully been shown me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art coming to a people which thou knewest not hereto. So because you're doing this for your mother-in-law, and because you're showing your mother-in-law this type of thing, that's why I'm taking notice of you. On top of the fact, she might have been a real good-looking lady, but it was the way she carried herself that he took notice of. Not so much the physical beauty, but now you're doing this for your mother-in-law. I heard this report about you, and now I know all this. It's been fully told to me how you're doing. That's why I'm taking notice of you. Not so much your physical beauty, even though she might have been fine, but this is why I'm taking, you're doing what the people of the Most High do, was getting my attention, right? He says, Yahweh recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my master, for thou hast comforted me, and for thou hast spoken friendly unto thy handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thine handmaids. And Boaz said unto her, at mealtime, come thou hither and eat of the bread and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat and was sufficed and left. And when she was risen to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves and reproach her not. So we have this law in Israel that when they're reaping, they leave the corners for the poor, fatherless widows. Boaz saying she can take whatever she want to take. Don't even worry about the corners. So when you go over the bowls, you don't supposed to go over it twice. You leave that for the poor, the fatherless, and the widow. Let her take what she want to take. This is how much favor this woman is finding in this man's eyes because of the way she carried herself. Because Naomi taught her to be a certain way. Now she's doing what Naomi says. She's now finding favor within the eyes of Boaz. Why? Because you have the older woman teaching the younger woman, and now the man is taking notice of it. A man is taking notice of it. But the older woman has to know the way. You can't teach what you don't know. You know? So how important is it for us to be on our P's and Q's, for us to know the way? And, you know, story about women, but just basically the old teaching the young, you know. Why do the youth act the way they do? You know, they mimicking what they see. You see, you have 60-year-old men, 50-year-old men, we said this before, when they acting young and they not acting the part of an adult, responsible adult, how can these young men act the part of a responsible adult when dad's still out there repping his hood at 60? That's the truth. I mean, you say it all the time. All men fighting. You know? All men fighting. So it's like, how can you expect anything great out of these young men? You know, it should be a shame when you see a man 60 years old, his pants sag. You know, he's saying he trying to hold on to something that's not there no more. Once your youth is gone, it's gone, and that's it. You can't get it back. But in this case, you have an older woman. showing a younger woman the right way. And because of that, now she's gaining favor in the eyes of a man who's wealthy. He just happened to be wealthy and a kinsman redeemer. People are taking notice of her. As we keep on reading, the whole town taking notice of her. You know? Any questions or comments so far? Verse 15, Ruth chapter 2, verse 15. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young man, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them that she may glean, and leave them that she may glean them and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field until evening and beat out that which she had gleaned. And it was about an ephah of barley. And she took it up and went into the city. And her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. And she brought forth and gave to her that which she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, the man's name with whom I have wrought today is Boaz. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of Yahweh, who has not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, the man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. So this communication that's going back and forth, Naomi is just like, whoa, Yahweh. See, the bitterness can't stay. She was in a state where she was bitter, in a state where she's feeling as though the hand of the Almighty was against her. But now it's, bless Yahweh, who has not forgiven the dead or the living and the dead. You know, there's times when we get upset at the Most High. There's times when we get angry because we feel as though Yahweh has done us wrong. We feel that way, but that's our flesh feeling that way. It's not the spirit. Yahweh don't do us wrong. All things work for our betterment when Yahweh puts us through these things. All the tests, all the tribulations, everything that we go through is to show us and to strengthen us in the Most High. It's for his benefit that he can use us and we'll be better servants. We'll be better brothers. We'll be better sisters to one another. You know? It's to strengthen us. But sometimes we feel a certain way. You know? Everybody does. We feel scarred. We'll feel, you know, we get like that. You know? To the point where we might lash out at the Most High. And then he just has to bring little reminders back. You know what? Fine. Let me remind you of this. And let me remind you of this. And let me remind you of the goodness, you know. And believe me, this little part right here will be good for you too, you know. But we have to get through the bitterness. That can't stay. Verse 21. And Ruth the Moabite said, he said unto me also, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean until the end of the barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. Any questions or comments about chapter 2? All right. Now we're going to see the old lady's mind really get to churning, because her whole thing was to find her a husband. So now Naomi's mind get to churn. Oh, really? Yahweh done showed you some favor, huh? Oh, really? Boaz is my next, is a kinsman. He's near that. Really? I was really working. So the old lady mind get to churning. She's like, oh, man, we got something going now, you know. Ruth chapter 3, verse 1. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now, is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast. Behold, he winneth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself, therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. But make not thyself known unto the man until he has done eating and drinking. Sound like she up to something. Verse 4, and it shall be, when he lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet, and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. And she said unto her, all that thou sayest unto me, I will do. Still being obedient. Right? Verse 6, and she went down to the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn, and she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lie at his feet. So, when I first read this a while ago, we don't find this nowhere in Torah. I never read this within something that the Most High wrote. But then he showed me some things. And when you look at the imagery of it, Nathaniel, can you help me out? Will you help me out, please? Come here. Shalom. You remember how we pray? Can you show them how we pray? Show everybody how we pray, please. Show us. Can you show us? Right. So, you have this going on. You can stand up now. Thank you. You have this going. Thank you, Nathaniel. You're a good show. You're a good demonstrator. You can sit down now. Thank you. So you have that going on at this man's feet. This woman is uncovering the covers of this man's feet, and you find her laying at his feet, sort of in a prostrated position, which showing submission to this man. Also, she's at the man's feet, which means his feet is on her, meaning she's supporting this man. So that's the imagery that the Most High is showing, that this man, that this woman is now ready to support this man and submit to this man. And then the next thing that happens is this. Verse 9, he says, and she said, and he said, who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thy handmaid. And this is what she asked him. Spread therefore thy skirt over thy handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. Now, go to the book of Ezekiel for this one. Keep your fingers there. But Ezekiel chapter 1, Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 1. Starting at verse 1. And this reads, Ezekiel 16:1. It says, again the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations, and say, thus saith the Master Yahweh unto Jerusalem, thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother a Hittite. And as for thy nativity, in the day thou was born, thy navel was not cut, neither was thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou was not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion unto thee. But thou was cast out in the open field to loathing of thy person in the day that thou was born, and saw thee polluted in thine own blood. I said unto thee, when thou was in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou was in thy blood, live. I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field, and thou hast increased and waxen great, and thou hast come to excellent ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned, and thy hair is grown, whereas thou was naked and bare. Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love, and I spread my skirt over thee. So you had the same thing that Ruth is asking him, Yahweh is doing for Israel, right? And but this is his explanation of why he spread the skirt over. He says, I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and into a covenant with thee, saith the Master Yahweh, and thou becamest mine. So that's what you have going on with Ruth. She's at this man's foot, submitting to him, saying that she will support him. And now she asks him to spread that cover over him. Take me as your own. You know, that's what Ruth wanted to do. And she wouldn't have known all that if Naomi wouldn't have told her to do that. So you have, again, this relationship going between the older woman who loves Yahweh, taught this younger woman how to love Yahweh. And now you have this man who takes notice of all that, and he wants this woman, you know, just drawn in because of the obedience of one. You know, it became infectious, sort of, you know, but in a good way. All right? Any questions or comments so far? All right. He said, back to Ruth, chapter 3, verse 9. And he said, who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thy handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thy handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. And he said, blessed be thou of Yahweh, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning. Insomuch as thou followest not young men, whether or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that you are a virtuous woman. The whole town know. And you want to be with me? Yeah, I'm going to be with you. I want you. That's right. You asking me to take you? No problem. I'm going to take you. Because everybody know you top notch. Everybody knows that. I can't go wrong with you. You know? And on top of that, I keep on getting impressed by you. You're even kinder now than you were in the beginning. You know, but this is the type of character that was developed by her interaction with Naomi. And this is a woman, like, again, we can't stress that enough. She was outside of Israel. She wasn't born into these ways. This was something that was taught to her. She was taught how to love the Most High. And because of that, she picked the letter, so to speak, to the point where everybody is noticing. I wish Ahab was here, because he knows that the virtuous woman, it talks about how he will bring her no shame all of his days, I believe. You know, when you find this woman. So can you imagine how Boaz feeling? I found me one. Hallelujah. Abba blessed me with this one. You know, because a good woman will make you feel that way. You know, she blessed me with this one. He got that. Hallelujah. Sure, y'all going to have issues. Y'all going to have struggles or whatever. But guess what? At the end of the day, you know that woman got your back. You got her back. Abba blessed you with that one. You know? Verse 12. He says, And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning, that he will perform unto thee the part of the kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman part. But if he will not do the part of the kinsman unto thee, then will I do the part of the kinsman to thee, as Yahweh liveth. Lie down unto the morning. And she lay at his feet until the morning. And she rose up before one could know another. And she said, excuse me, and he said, let it not be known that a woman came into the floor. Also, he said, bring the veil that thou hast upon thee and hold it. And when he held it, he measured 6 measures of barley and laid it on her. And she went into the city. And when she came to her mother-in-law, he said, who art thou, my daughter? And she told her all that the man had done to her. And she said, these 6 measures of barley gave he me. For he said to me, go not empty unto thy mother-in-law. Then said she, sit still, my daughter, until thou know how the matter will fall. For the man will not be in rest until he had finished the thing today. That's that old wisdom. He going to handle this. So you just sit here, and then, you know, if the only thing you got to worry about, baby, because you know how old black women talk, baby, only thing you got to worry about is if old boy get you first. But Boaz, he coming for you. Don't worry about it, baby. You just sit still. We going to eat something. Book of Ruth, chapter 4, starting at verse 1. Then went Boaz up to the gate and sat him down there, and behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spoke came by, unto whom he said, ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, sit ye down here. And they sat down. And he said unto the kinsman, Naomi, that is come again out of the country of Moab, self a parcel of land, which our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advise thee, saying, buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt not redeem it, if thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know. For there is none to redeem it besides thee, and I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. Then said Boaz, what day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar my own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Now this was the matter in former time in Israel, concerning redeeming and concerning changing, for it to confirm all things. A man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor, and this was a testimony in Israel. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. And Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that Elimelech's and all that was Kilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. So now you got two men looking at this woman in two different lights. See, because he said, I'm not going to redeem this because this is going to mar my own inheritance. But Boaz didn't see it that way. Boaz was looking at Ruth as an addition to her, as a upgrade, so to speak. You know, somebody's necessary. She's not going to mess up mine. She's going to make my inheritance greater because of the type of woman she is, the type of quality she has. She serves Yahweh wholeheartedly. That's how he's looking. You're not messing up my inheritance by bringing this woman, this Moabitess, into here, and I don't mind raising up children for the dead. I'm not going to mess that up just because she's a Moabitess. She's bringing greatness to this because she loves Yahweh. You know, it says, moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of his place. Ye are witnesses this day. And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. Yahweh make the woman that is come unto thine house like Rachel and like Leah, which too did build up the house of Israel. And do thou worthily in Ephrathah, and to be and be famous in Bethlehem. And let thy house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bare unto Judah, of the seed which Yahweh shall give thee of this young woman. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, Yahweh gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the woman said unto Naomi, blessed be Yahweh, which has not left thee this day. Your mindset, Naomi, don't be bitter no more. Yahweh didn't leave you. Then died, your sons died. Yahweh still didn't leave you. You stay strong, and guess what? Which has not left these days without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel, and he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, have borne thee. That's the type of love that Ruth had for this woman. That's the type of love that Ruth showed to the people. Your people are going to be my people. Your God is going to be my God. That's the type of people that the Most High wants to bring up, you know. People who love him so much that it can be compared to seven sons. He says, and Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it. And the woman, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi, and they call his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. And so because of her faithfulness and her love, she got to be the progenitor of one of the most important men in history of this world. I was going to say Israel, but King David is one of the most important men in the history of this world, to the point where archaeologists are still trying to figure out things about him, how he did certain things and this, that, and another. He's perplexing to this world, you know. But the faith of Naomi, she showed forth the love of the Most High in her deeds by loving her sons, loving her husband, loving her daughter-in-law. She showed forth how she loved the Most High. And in turn, Ruth did it, showed how much she loved the Most High by loving her people, loving Yahweh, loving, just showing love to one another. This is how we show forth the love of Yahweh, by the love we show one to another. Now, we started off this whole thing with that whole thing from Good Times, the whole clip where James tells her, kitchen in the bed, baby, kitchen in the bed, right? The reason why, you know, Yahweh put that on my mind is because in Good Times, people who follow it, there's no doubt that James loved his wife. Can't think of his wife's name right now.
Florida,
yeah. It's no doubt. James would do anything for Florida, you know. But in that instance, when he said that, he wasn't thinking and he wasn't showing love to Florida. He was so tied up in himself that he forgot the love of Florida. He never considered why she felt the way she felt about that saying, because the whole time Florida's begging him not to say this thing. She knew what he was going to say. She was like, James, don't say it. Please don't say it. Please. He never considered how this was going to affect his wife. You know? There's times when we get caught up in ourselves and we say things and we never consider how it's going to affect the other person. You know, when we do that, we're not showing forth the love of the Most High. Quite simple. You know, sometimes we do have to be blunt. Sometimes we have to say things stern, you know. But we don't have to be hurtful in the ways that we do when we're dealing with things, you know. We don't have to have a malicious tongue. Even if we were saying it's true, you know, we don't have to be malicious with it. We don't have to want to wound a person with it, you know. Too many times we get caught up in us and how we're feeling, and we forget Abba's watching, you know. But it's okay, you know. Go to that person, ask for forgiveness, and do your best not to do it again, you know. As long as we're alive, we got a chance. So said all that just to say, if we want to show Yahweh how much we love him, we have to treat each other better.
Sure.
You know, we have to treat each other better. So any questions or comments about anything?
Well,
yes, sir.
Prior to coming in, I was talking to and that's something that we actually talked about. Now, one of the things that I believe now, I believe, confirmed the creative quote on my part, is that that's something that we need to work on here. You know, whenever an issue arises between brother, sister, sister, however, we need to get into the practice of letting the people know how this affected us, but in a way that is more loving. You know, opposed to, as you say, with a malicious tone. You know, and if, and in the case where something like that is done, if somebody speaks to you in a malicious tone, don't hold on to that.
Right.
Go to that brother. Go to that sister. Because another problem is holding on to things.
Right.
When somebody does something that offends you, and we say, I'm going to let it slide, no, that's not what I was here to do.
Right.
If a brother offends you, talk to that brother, talk to that sister. Because when we say we let it slide, if it offended you, if you leave it unattended, it's going to fester.
Right.
It's going to become something else.
Right.
And then the next little thing, God forbid, or most high forbid, that you allow something else to take place, and that offends you, and it's going to let it slide. When you say, I'm going to let it slide, that's not being gracious and merciful.
Right.
You know, you're just creating a bad situation for yourself, and now it's going to be as little as old saying, crying over spilled milk.
Mm-hmm.
The spilled milk going to come, you're going to explode because you've been holding on to so much foolishness.
Mm-hmm.
Let these things go immediately so you can, and something that you mentioned earlier, you take back the control. Because the adversary is just waiting in the cut to use those things against you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so. It's timely, the message about love. So hopefully we hear that and engrave that upon our heart and mind today, you know.
Hallelujah. Any other questions or comments? All right. Nathaniel, thank you for being a great demonstrator. What's up, Yehuda? How you doing? All right. That ends today's Bible 101. So, Kol Kun Yisrael. All rise. Brother Yaakov, you mind closing us out?
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Gracious and merciful Father, we come before you, bowing the knees of our hearts before you in the name of the Son. Father, please give me some praise for this first Holy Sabbath of the new year, Heavenly Father. We thank you, each and every one of us, those present, those who are listening at home, those who are gathered together in other places, Heavenly Father. Nevertheless, in honor of and in observance of your holy day. Be gracious, merciful to us. Forgive each and every one of us, Heavenly Father, for the sins that we have committed against you, those that we committed that we were aware of, those which we have committed that we were unaware of. We beseech thee, Heavenly Father, in the name of your Son, to cleanse each and every one of us of those iniquities by the blood of your Son, which was shed for us all. We ask for strength, Heavenly Father, strength to overcome the works of this flesh, Heavenly Father, strength that we may all be your time redeemed, your disciples, Heavenly Father, by the love that we show one toward another. For that is the true show, the true test of having your Ruach HaKodesh, your Spirit, Heavenly Father. Lead us and guide us this day, as well as each and every day of our lives, Heavenly Father, to show forth your love to those people that see that, Heavenly Father. They know and they come to and understand that we are your representatives, Heavenly Father. We are your ambassadors in this world, Heavenly Father. Strengthen us all by your Spirit. For without your Spirit, we are unable to accomplish anything, Heavenly Father. As you have said through your servant, the prophet, it is not by power nor by might, but it is by thy Spirit. Therefore, we pray that you fill each and every one of us with that Spirit, that motivation that we need, Heavenly Father, to walk worthily of our calling individually and collectively as your people whom you have brought forth out of this darkened world. We humbly and we sincerely ask these things, Heavenly Father, through your Son, by whom you have promised us all things, if we shall ask it in his name. Therefore, in the name of Yahushua, our Messiah, we come before you and we ask you for your strength to endure unto the end. We ask you for your grace and for your mercy to forgive us for our sins. We ask you for healing of heart and mind, Heavenly Father, that we, as we have learned, may overcome our bitterness that life has dealt into us, that we be happy, Heavenly Father, and whatever state we're in, regardless, Holy One of Israel, may that happiness be within our hearts and within our minds today and tomorrow and every day that you give to us, Heavenly Father, as we walk in your presence. We pray for those, Heavenly Father, who have been stricken with ailments, preventing them to fellowship with the brotherhood and the sisterhood. And we pray that your Sabbath blessing be upon them as well. Those who are home, those who are scattered abroad. In the name of your Son, Yahushua, our Savior and our Redeemer. All praise be to your holy name. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Blessed are you, Yahweh, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, trustworthy, mighty one who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all of whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled. But you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the mighty one who is trustworthy in all his words. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.